See ya. Hi, everybody. Good morning. This is Steve Miller, better known as Kelly's dad and marketing gunslinger. Thank you very much for joining us again for another another IMTS monthly webinar. You know, and this month I've got a topic that is based on the response from a survey that I did late last year. In conversations with clients lately, it seems to be coming up quite a bit as well. So I thought this would be a good topic for this month. Before I get started, just a little housekeeping. Number one is that we always record these programs. So this will be uploaded no later than tomorrow, I'm guessing, to the IMTS.com website. And you can watch that. We will also upload the audio portion of it, so that if you want to just download that, you can listen to that, and also the visuals that I've got here for today. So, and of course, if you have any questions, just jump right into the Q&A section there and ask them in there, and I will be paying attention to those questions during the program. And if I see anything, I will grab it as soon as I can and respond. If I do not get to your question, I promise I'll get to the end. So like I was saying, you know, this is kind of the result of a survey that I did late last year. And let me just show you the results of this. Let's see if I got, there we go. Essentially, I did a one question, very quick survey to my listeners, followers, BFFs, and I just asked the question, what is your biggest challenge regarding marketing and generating new leads? And the number one response by far was creating a message that generates response from the prospects, the people that they're reaching out to. And so, and you can see, I mean, it's more than twice as large as the next one, which was proving measurable results from marketing. And the third one, clearly identifying your moose, finding your moose, identifying the right media to use, developing a repeatable campaign, and then developing the right budget. So I'm going to go through, and I've got about seven topics that I want to share with you on this particular subject, on how to generate, how to create a message, how to generate a better response to your marketing efforts. Understanding that most of the marketing, I should say not most of the marketing, or probably most of the marketing today, people use email extensively, right? I mean, they're using social media and using, a lot of online participation, and of course, you know, when you're at trade shows and things like that. But we're probably primarily talking about not trade shows, since those are face to face. But when you are communicating with people via online, if you're doing it even through direct mail or any other type of medium, using videos or things like that, these are things that you can be looking at, that each one of these by themselves can help to improve the response rate. Now, one of the things that I want to point out is that while most people use, email blasts and use online marketing as their strategy to generate new leads and new contacts. One of the things to keep in mind when you are using something like, and we'll say email because it's kind of the predominant tool that people use today, is to try to put yourself in the shoes of the person who is receiving this. Okay, we've all heard this before, right? But the thing that I want to point out in this case is not just so much that we understand what they're thinking or their particular situation, but actually think about the physical setup, the physical situation that they are in when they are receiving something. So, for example, if they get direct mail, then then they're getting something, you know, from the mailbox. Whether they go out and get it from the mailbox themselves, and they physically carry it, and they walk in and they go into their office, you know, or somebody else brings it to them, and then they take it, and you know, and as we all know, we kind of just stand by the trash can and we kind of start flipping through the mail. And determining which stuff is junk and which stuff is worth looking at. And then fairly similarly, I guess, I don't know if that's a good term to use or not, but similarly, when people are online and if they're getting message from us via email, think about that situation that they're in. They're sitting there now, that you know, whether they're using their smartphone and going through, or whether they're sitting at their desk and they're looking at their desktop. Most people are sitting with their finger on the trigger, so to speak. Okay, that they are looking for a reason to click and delete, or click and move on to the next one as quickly as possible. So we're in sort of like we're in fast click mode when we're looking at things like that. And you want to keep this stuff in mind while you're developing any type of communication with people. So there are things that companies do, and I'm talking particularly in the B2B world, obviously, because that's what we're in. Even though we must recognize that we're not businesses doing business with businesses. We're still people doing business with people. So if you kind of keep in mind what type of situation that they are, their physical situation that they're in, what their state of mind is when they're getting something from you, that can help a lot. So let me start with some of the, you know, let me get into the seven tips, seven areas, seven topics that will help us to do a better job. And some of this is based on mistakes that I see quite a bit from companies, a lot, because I collect a lot of emails. I'm on a lot of lists, corporate lists, a lot in the manufacturing world, outside the manufacturing industry as well. But these are a lot of companies that we are very, you know, similar to. Okay. And one of the first things that I'm going to say is, this might sound pretty simple, you know, but when you're sending emails out from you, and an email blast, is send it from a person, not a company. Okay. So like, for example, I see this a lot. I mean, I was going through, you know, the list that I have of hundreds and hundreds. I save these things. You know, I have a file that's like examples that I go back and I study and I look for patterns that companies are using to in their marketing, okay, and in their communications. And probably the number one most violated thing is that the emails are coming from a company. So in the from section, you know, we get the to and the from. In the from section, it will say ABC, you know, manufacturing company. You know, that's what it'll say. It's coming from that, you know, info at ABC manufacturing company. You know, kind of a side comment about this also is that I often see somewhere in the email or at the bottom of the email, do not reply. This email box is not monitored. Well, that's just plain dumb. Okay. Don't just assume that people will click on links for you when you do that. But the bottom line is, don't send it from a company, send it from a person, because these are still people, you know, who are, we're still people doing business with people. Okay. So don't do that. All right. Next thing, which is I see less of, but I still see more than I should. And that is that I see too many emails from companies that are, they're not using an email address that has their own domain name. So, and I had a number come in this week that were, you know, ABC manufacturing company at gmail.com, for example. And when you are using Gmail, Yahoo, whatever the other generic domains are, that's kind of showing that you're not as professional as you should be. Okay, people want to assume that there's a certain level that you are performing at, so you know, make sure you're using your own domain for all your stuff. Not too many people do that, but just the fact that I still see it, I felt compelled to share that. The next thing, the number two, is to focus on the next specific step that you are going, that you want to build in the relationship. So, and I call this next step marketing. And it's regardless of what tool you use, it doesn't matter. When you are reaching out to communicate with somebody, then the question to ask is, what is the very next step that I want them to do in this relationship building process? I'll draw it like this. Like, I'll say that, let's imagine that, from the beginning of the relationship to the end of the relationship, for most of us in the B2B world, there are multiple contacts. There are multiple communications that are set up as we go along. And yet what we tend to do with the, when we're doing promotional campaigns, when we're doing marketing campaigns, what I see a lot of companies trying to do is actually trying to skip steps, and they're trying to trying to make the sale as quickly as possible. Well, don't try to make the sale in those marketing messages. I'll start with email. An email, our next step when we send an email out, our next step is that they have to open the email. Okay, that's what they have to do. So your subject line must get them to do that. That's what your subject line is. It's the responsibility of your subject line, and that is the only responsibility of your subject line, is to get them to open the email and read the email. So that's the next step there. And then the question is okay, then what would be the, once they open the email and they read the email, what is the next step after that? And that would be the purpose of the email and the body of the copy in the email itself. So, don't try to accomplish too much with something that is just a very, very brief connection with that person. Same thing like at trade shows, for example. And I say that, at trade shows, the first thing that has to happen is they have to stop in your booth, right? So whatever your booth is doing, the very first thing it must do is it must get them to stop. And that's the next step in that relationship building process. So always think in terms of what is the very next thing that I want to have happen, and then work towards that. Okay, so focus on the next step. Now let's get to the subject line. Now subject, and I say subject lines as it relates to things like in email, obviously. But when I say subject lines, we could also say headlines, for example. Like if you're using trade advertising, for example. Well, if somebody's going through, if they're reading a physical magazine, or if they're on a website and they see, say, for example, an ad on the side or something like that, well, the first thing that has to happen is that it has to grab their attention. Okay, that's the initial next step, so to speak. Or if you're doing an ad, the subject line, the headline would be something to grab their attention. All right. And then you want to make sure that if it's online, you want to make sure that they click. So you're offering them something that they will say, okay, I want to click because I want to go to the next step. All right. And that next step is something that they want to do. Okay. So subject lines, headlines, that stuff. The only purpose of that subject line is to make them open. Now, I'm not necessarily saying go out and use clickbait to trick people into opening. But, you know, it's interesting how you can study things like you can go out and you can study clickbait. And actually, I'll tell you a good place to study some of the headlines, believe it or not, is in your spam folder, because you know, if there are bots out there that are saying these are being written by people who are trying to get you to click. Okay, that's all they're trying to do, is they're trying to get you to click. So you can get ideas from them that will help. And I'm going to show you some examples of what not to do and what to do here. So, like, for example, going back into my little archive of my library of emails that I get from companies all over in all these different B2B worlds. I just grabbed five yesterday that I could put into this program to share with you. These are actual subject lines that were in the emails that were sent to me. So, like, anything coming up, we can quote for you. Sounds more like a desperate cry for help, if you ask me. Okay, one of them said IRS tax reminder. One just said gear hobbing cutters. Okay, one said think of us in 2017. We are thinking about you. You know, and this was an email I got that was in my file yesterday. So I thought that was odd that they didn't even catch that they probably copied and pasted an email that they did back in 2017. Well, that's a big no there. But think of us, because we're thinking about you, you know, or visit our booth at IMTS. See, you have to ask yourself the question, why would somebody click to read the rest of the email? And in these, I'm going to tell you that from my perspective and my opinion, I am not seeing anything. I'm not seeing anything that is going to make me want to click and go. In fact, what it's going to make me do is it's going to make me want to click and delete as quickly as possible. So we definitely don't want to use subject lines like this. So and let me share some with you that are good subject lines as examples for helping people to want to click through. So, you know, for example, you know, how do you reach your competitors' customers? If somebody's trying to, you know, if they're thinking about how do I go out and get customers and how do I take people away from my competition, this type of a subject line is going to attract their attention. Three big reasons why John Smith recommends us, you know, that for somebody who is thinking about a particular type of product or service, and they're looking for proof, this might make them want to, you know, click through. You know, we just invested $1.5 million to cut your downtime. If downtime is a problem, then that would attract their attention, you know, or fix your problem now, fix your problem, not downtime, you know, fix your downtime, you know, problem now. See, here's the thing. We know we're not going to get 100% click through. It's just not going to happen. You know, the open rate is not, you know, and when we say click, I'm saying open rate. We're not going to do that. You know, industry average is something like 20%. Open rate. But what you want to do is obviously is you want to try to push that up. I mean, if I'm being successful with clients, then we're pushing it up to 40% and higher. I've seen examples even higher than that. But a lot of it also has to do with, do they know you? Do they like you? Do they trust you? But assuming that they don't know you, then you have to give them a pretty solid reason why they would want to open. I'll talk about this a little bit later. But if they don't know who you are, then what you're essentially doing is you're trying to figure out what type of problem or challenge or project that they might have going on right now that they would be interested in having help with. And so, and of course, it's only going to be a percentage of the people, but you want it to be more than 20%. That's for sure. So these are the types of things that you can do with subject lines to get them to open the email. The next one, the fourth one, or D, as I call it, yeah, is writing compelling copy. Now, this in itself can be an entire program, But what I want to share is I just want to share four things to think about. And then I'll give you a couple of some resources you can go look for to study a little bit more. But, you know, compelling copy. Number one is don't just make an announcement. You saw some of the emails that I showed that were not very good. You know, an announcement is something like, you know, visit us at booth number so-and-so at IMTS. You know, we have, you know, our latest widget is, 10% faster than last year. That's an announcement. That's not marketing. That's just, just kind of spray and pray there, that you hope somebody might jump on that. Okay. Too often, and I should say, very, very often, a very high percentage of the copy that I see written is about the company. It's about us. You know, we do this, we do that, we have this capability, we are the best at this. You know, and instead of talking about the reader and the reader saying, well, what's in it for me? That's really what they're thinking about is why should I, you know, what's in it for me? Why should I care? I should have flipped these last two around a little bit here because, you know, if you can get into telling a story, so like, for example, if you can tell a story that's, you know, and you use like a testimonial, for example, in your, you know, in your emails, you get somebody who gives permission. You know, like I said, one of them was, you know, here are three reasons why, you know, John Smith recommends our company, is that, then the story and then the story becomes, here's what happened. Okay. Here's the hi, I'm John Smith. I had this situation, I had this problem. And it was really, really, it was costing us time, which was costing us money and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't know where to go. And somebody recommended that I talk to, you know, ABC company and see, and if the reader identifies with that person and says, hey, that, you know, he or she is talking, you know, I have that same situation. That's something I want to do. I want to get help with. Well, then that's a story that is useful and interesting, but it's told as a story, not as a, you know, like, oh, here's what we do. Here's our features. Here are the benefits. Here are features. Here are benefits. And contact us. It's told as a story. If you can tell a story in your copy, then that is much, much more compelling to people. People really, really, you know, I'm sure you've heard it's much bigger deal now than it has been in the past, but storytelling is a huge, tool in marketing. I'm surprised we don't see something that's just called story marketing or something like that. But, but telling a story and, like I said, that is a big topic in learning how to write compelling copy and studying how to write compelling copy. So here are three books that I would recommend that you look at. They're each very different from the others. Okay, you know, you got Ann Hanley's Everybody Writes, Bob Bly's The Copywriter's Handbook. That one's more of a textbook. That's kind of and that's kind of one of the Bibles of the copywriting industry, quite frankly. Bob is a very, very well-known, very experienced, very successful copywriter. And then best-selling book, I think Ann Hanley's was best-selling, but I know that Donald Miller's Building a Story Brand is best-selling too. And of course, his is focusing on the story itself. The other two are primarily about writing compelling copy. And so I would certainly recommend any of those three books to study for sure. And mine are all dog-eared and I go back and refer to them quite a bit. You know, I've basically said this, but really what you want to do in the subject line and in your copy is you want to join the conversation that is already going on in your customer's mind. So, you know, a simple question to ask, you've heard it a million times, but is like, what's keeping them awake at night? What is the problem that when they wake up in the morning, what is the very first thing that's on their mind when they come to the office? What is it that's preoccupying or occupying their brain, you know, during the day? Something that they really want to get help with, that you can help them with. Okay, because the more you can join the conversation going on in their mind, the easier it's going to be to get them to contact you. And you see, because here's what happens. And I don't know if this is a psychological or medical thing or anything like that, but essentially, you know, we've got this thing inside our head, that is called our reticular activating center. All right. Reticular activating center. And essentially what it means, and I'm going to use another consultant word here, is that our mind is teleological. And what teleological and what the reticular activating center means is that our minds are moving, are always moving in the direction of our current dominant thought. So whatever is on our mind, our brain subconsciously is looking for help. So, in Seattle, for example, you know, we, you know, Washington is, you know, cannabis is legal in Washington. And what the pot shops have found in Washington is that their best marketing tool is a billboard. You know, if you have a pot shop, then two blocks to you know, one direction and two blocks in the other direction, you have billboards set up. And essentially the billboards start out with a subject line, a headline. It'll say something like, you know, need pot, got pot, right? And, you know, and so think about this, you know, it'll say that. Now, if you are not a pot smoker, then you're going to pay no attention to that and you're just going to keep on driving. And that's exactly what we want to have happen. But if you are a pot smoker and you're driving along, if you know that you need pot, you're going to say, "Ooh, I have to stop." All right? And it will say two blocks up the right, stop. That's what it'll say. So it's basically the headline, compelling copy, and the call to action. And that conversation is already going on in that person's mind. Even if they don't haven't already thought about pot is still on their mind because that's what they do. They smoke pot. So, that's crazy example maybe, but that's exactly how that works. So you want to join the conversation that's going on and already in their mind. And the better job you do of that, the more likely they are to respond to you. Be sure in your compelling copy to address the who cares question. You know, we all read this stuff. We're all skeptical. Every single one of us is skeptical. Even those of us in sales and marketing, we're skeptical. Somebody wants to sell something to us. And basically what we're thinking to ourselves is, who cares about what you want to sell to me? Why should I care? Why should I care about you versus anybody else? Why should I do that? So in your copy, you're also going to be sharing in there about what makes you the choice that they should make. Okay, so you always want to be sure to answer the who cares question, and then number seven finally is to make the offer compelling to them. Whatever the call to action is, remember, next step marketing. Now, you don't want to do something like just say, "Oh, you know, click here for more information. You know, contact us for more information." One of the best things that you can do, and I'm sure you know about this, is to be able to come up with some type of lead magnet, some type of thing that is useful and interesting, something of value, whether it's a video, whether it's a white paper, whether it's a recording of, or whether an upcoming webinar or something like that, that you say, you say something like, "Hey, we've got this seven tips for how to increase your response," and it's written out as a white paper, and they go, "Oh, I want that," right? And so, and it's congruent with the topic that you have been talking about, the compelling copy that you've been writing about. And so then you tell them, and then you tell them exactly what to do. Click here to get your copy of that white paper, okay? Or click here to register for this webinar, something like that. So you are making the offer very, very compelling. So those are the seven. That's it. It's not, you know, it might sound like common sense, but the bottom line is that if you go out and you look at your own marketing, you know, study other companies and what they're doing and see, and you'll be surprised at how many times every one of these things in here is being violated and not being used appropriately. But if you want to increase, you know, open rate, obviously you've got to do something with the subject line, because open rate means that's the next step. That's what open means. They're clicking on the subject line to open the email. That's next step. And then what's the next step after that? So that's that's the formula that I got for you today. And it, you know, it's not always rocket science, but, it's always, this is the formula that the top copywriters use, and top marketers use. So, so now if you have any questions, please feel free to jump in and ask me. You know, I'm not going to take an hour if we don't have to take an hour. So, no questions. I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll tell you a little bit about next month's program before I, so I'll give you guys a chance to pop some questions. Next month's program is going to be pretty cool. I'm actually going to be doing a program on direct marketing, but it's going to be called 3D marketing. For those of you that are not using direct marketing, you're going to want to think about this, because direct marketing, direct mail, is still a very, very powerful tool. But one of the best ways to use direct marketing is, I've always called it fat mail, but I'm going to have a guest next month who is one of the top industry specialists on direct marketing, Travis Lee, and he has a company called 3D Marketing, and we're going to talk about what the types of things that you can do. Fat mail being that when you do mail stuff, mail to people, that there is something inside that makes it fat. You know, he calls it 3D marketing, and it helps to get them to open the mail, which is the next step, right? So I don't see any questions here. So then I'm going to just cut it off and say thank you very much for joining me again this month. Like I said, I'll be back again next month. And next month we'll also be, at some point, we're going to be talking about IMTS, because once we start getting 1 year out, then we start talking about IMTS a lot more. So this is Steve Miller, better known as Kelly's Dad and Marketing Gunslinger. Thanks a lot for joining me. And Danish, thank you. I know you're hiding back there somewhere. Always remember, I should also, just in case you want, here's the contact information. And thank you everybody for joining me again. Always remember, be uncopyable. Thanks again. See ya.